I'd like to welcome everyone to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. We're glad to have everyone here today. Do we have any visitors? Anywhere?
I can't find the first time.
Okay. All right. We're all family then. Announcement. I looked at the bulletin, just scanned it quickly. It looks like we've got pages of announcements. Is there anything pressing that anyone wants to announce today? Anything we need to remember?
Sherry in here.
Christmas Cantata is going to be performed here in our church, and it's easy to learn. The joint practices are minimal. We have each person will get a CD with your part on it. You can learn to sing it while you're driving in the car, and we'll get a book. The thing is, I need to know how many books, how many CDs to get. So if you are at all interested, things you can perform. I think we're performing it twice, and I believe the performance date is December 17th.
Okay, I believe there's a housewarming gathering as soon as church is dismissed.
Right. I hope some people got three information pieces concerning that. If you didn't get one, it wasn't our intention. We tried to get everybody out, or word out to everybody. Okay?
Okay, so everyone stay after church for...
Savannah and your house got a house. Turn that, we'll have a housewarming right after church.
And then there's a baby shower at 2 o'clock. So, it's a happening place today. Do we have other announcements that need to be? Yes. Deborah. Do we have anyone else?
Children's ministry is getting into the fall. We're getting ready for a Christmas program. We're getting ready for children's choir. We're also doing Kids for Christ. And if they overlap, we're trying to do it on Sunday and Wednesday. So we don't have to make so many trips here. So keep up with the bulletin. We think all the times are right, but they may just leave one and go right to the other. And that'll save
you
transportation, hopefully.
Okay. Anyone else? If not, at this time, we would like to share our prayer request and praise request. Does anyone have a prayer? Okay.
Speak Wednesday night also.
Okay.
Should be
right.
Speaker for Wednesday night. Supper at 6. Please sign up. It helps to know how many hamburgers to cook. It was not hamburgers this week. That was last week. And I don't know what it is this week. But and then she's going to speak Wednesday night at 6:45. And we'll do the praise singing and the meditative prayer. Special time of prayer. And then her festival.
Mike.
I believe I speak for everyone in this church, but I can certainly speak for our family when I say that we love you, Douglas Watson, and me very much. And we're so honored and so privileged that you come to be here with us and you come to live in America, especially to share all of your musical abilities with us. And I would also ask all of you to pray for my Aunt Eileen Hardy, who lost her husband 5 months ago. She had a fall last week and broke both arms. One at the wrist and then the other somewhere else. She is at home now. She's doing better, but please pray for her. She's 85, I believe. And also, I would ask you to pray for a good friend of mine at work's mother. Her name is Virginia Ruth Askins, A-S-K-I-N-S, I believe. She has been diagnosed with cancer. I don't exactly know what type right now, but that doesn't really matter. It just matters that we pray for her. So we pray for both of those folks.
Okay. Okay. Is there anyone else?
There's a friend of some of us here, Roy Stevens, is in the hospital for some tests. They're not sure, but it doesn't look like it might be something serious. Roy Stevens is in Baptist Hospital.
Okay. I came without a name this morning, and I'm put out with myself that I didn't write it down. There was a lady and her husband that used to run a store in Nolensville.
Jan Randolph.
Randolph, that's right. Jan Randolph. Her grandson is in third grade at my school. And I've been knowing it, and I did not realize until this week that she was Judge Threet's daughter. And Judge Threet was a name that was known by everyone. He was the only judge in Murfreesboro there for a while. And it was really sweet. The little boy has made it just fine. His grandmother, they were camping. And she died the way she wanted to go, right with nature.
In Canada.
In Canada. And it's taken a while to get everything transferred back here. And they had a memorial service at the park, at Old Fort Park, Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And I understand it was quite a celebration of her life.
And Did you?
Well, it's a real sweet family. I've gotten they're new to our building, but I've gotten to know mother and father and grandson. And didn't realize there was a Nolensville connection with that. Is there anyone else? If not, let us pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for our worship with God. Let us welcome Jesus, the light of the world, by the lighting of the candles. Call to worship this morning is from Psalm 99:5. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the tambourine. Play the melodious harp and lyre. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy.
Let's all stand. Turn in our hymnals. Hymn 72. We will glorify to Him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty, we will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness, we will worship Him alone. He is Lord of man and Lord of earth, He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord of all the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Let's do that last verse again, a cappella.
Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Bow with me for prayer. Lord God, the great I am. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, Lord of the universe. We come, O God, to glorify your name. And Lord, we know that there are things that we need to shed ourselves of. Some call it baggage. We need to be freed. And Lord, we come before you to say, at least for these moments, that we can be freed of all that would hinder us from bringing glory and praise to your name. Lord, as we come together, we pray that you would prepare us, having been in your special presence, to go back and to deal with the things in our own life, or maybe even deal with them here, but go out into the world and deal with situations that only you and your people, empowered by your Spirit, can truly deal with. Thank you for worship. Thank you for inviting us to come and to offer praise and adoration, to lift our voices. Thank you for each person who has gathered in this place, but your people everywhere, Lord, who have gathered, are gathered, or will gather this day to bring glory to you. Thank you for that privilege. And thank you for inviting us, even urging us, to come into your presence and be blessed by you. Now, Father, we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We remain standing as we put in words that which we believe through the Apostles' Creed. I believe it's flashed on the wall to my left.
Our call to confession is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I invite you to read with me the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have refused to hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we have that assurance of forgiveness taken from Psalms. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave.
Okay. Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 355. 355.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through God's glory way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting trusting as the days go by, trusting in whatever falls, trusting Jesus, that is all. Guide me, God, your Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he needs, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him, the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by, trusting him from every fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path is clear, if in danger for him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him while life shall last, trusting him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him from every
Our featured soloist this morning is Jerry Bowers.
Fly away, morning, in my
Thank you, Jerry and Julie and his wife. That's wonderful. Thought I was back at Rocky Glades. At this time, I believe it's Miss Andrea. You have children's time this morning? Boys and girls, come on down and meet Miss Andrea. Our offertory sentence today is taken from Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings.
You people in his temple, oh praise he for the Lord is good, and you are his possession. The world above is Lord of all, the earth is here to please him. From deepest sea to cloudless sky, you wind and rain and season. Praise him, the name of the Lord. Praise him, the name of the Lord. Praise him, the name of the Lord. Praise him.
Please, to hymn 548, Beyond the Sunset. I'll sing one and three.
Land will go apart.
Our scripture selection today is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, and 1 Timothy 4, 16, 6 through 16. Listen to the word. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truth of the faith and of the good teachings that you have been followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that preserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which is given you through a prophet message, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The Word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Thanks.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 383. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see the truth in your word.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, want to see Jesus.
The worship experience is to help us see Jesus, hear from Him, and offer praise and adoration to Jesus and God the Father, and to build up the church using our gifts. The word today is more. More about how to live as God's people, or more instructions from God or for God's people. I would guess that most every one of us have tried to put together something. Something that came in a box that was disassembled, and you tried to put it together. Anybody not tried to do that? So many times. We never look for the instructions. And we try to put it together, whatever it is. And then in desperation, in frustration, we will go to the box that the goods came in and dig through and find the instructions and read them and learn how to put something together. It happened to me just recently working on the nursery. Bill Rowland put it together. The drain pipe for the new sink in there, lavatory I believe you call it. And somehow it got shifted a little bit. It was leaking. You know, I searched for them instructions, and I searched, and I went through the trash, and I went through this sack of trash and that sack of trash. I haven't found them yet. So I'm not sure that I got it together right, because I had to take it apart and start over. And I called Levin. He wasn't to be found. He was off doing something else. Don't think I could get a hold of John Post, but I knew I could get a hold of him the next day. So it's not leaking now. Bill followed the instructions and everything was fine until it got shifted a little bit. And, you know, as we ended the day on, I believe it was Saturday night, I needed the instructions again. The point is, sometimes in life, a person will become a Christian. We talked last week about being saved, becoming a disciple of Jesus. Some people will become a disciple of Jesus and immediately start out trying to live for Jesus and not know anything about it. They've seen some people out in the world that have kind of professed to be Christians, but they really may not have known a lot about it. And if you look at five different people, you'll find five different list of instructions. Just watching them. So, they want to be a Christian, want to live for Jesus, but fail to read the instruction book. You know anybody like that? Maybe that happened in your own life. Did they tell me when I made my profession of faith in Jesus, trusted Him as my Lord and Savior, that there were instructions in the Bible for me to follow that would teach me how to live? Or is it kind of like parents? If you trust Jesus, you're going to automatically know how to live for Him. They're kind of like if you have a child, you're automatically equipped to raise that child. And we've made a lot of steam about Dr. Spock. Basically, what Dr. Spock was trying to do is help parents know how to raise their children. You may have not agreed with some of the things that he said, and I may have not agreed with them. But at least it was one instruction book to help new parents along the way. Does anybody use him now? Was it Spock, or was he that man flying out in space? They were kin, weren't they? I guess they were kinfolk, same name. Okay. Today I want to talk look at more of the instructions. We started this back in August. Got into Ephesians. And it started talking about what Paul servant of God was instructing the new Christians of his day in those churches that he had established or at least visited to help along the way. Yesterday I said to Carol, is there not a book of God's little instruction or God's little instruction book? And she went right to her nightstand and pulled it out. Maybe this is God's little instruction book for leaders. I guess she's the leader of our household. I believe possibly the Christian Education Committee gave these to the women one Mother's Day, or maybe I found it to bring my wife home to say. Maybe I bought it for her. Maybe one of the girls bought it for her and said, here, Mom, you're supposed to be the leader. Or maybe I said that. I'm not sure how she got it, but she had it in her nightstand. She hadn't read it a lot, so she's still letting me be the leader. Okay. But it's God's little instruction book. But you know what? I just thought about that. But I already had God's little instruction book. And believe it or not, the whole Bible is right there. And God, Judy gave you this years ago from Gold Ministries. And you've got to have good eyesight to read. You get it all in there. It's got to have really good eyesight. But it's God's little instruction book. Now, this little instruction book, let me read a line or two. I didn't know where I was going. No, none will improve your lot if you yourselves do not. None will improve your lot if you yourselves do not. Where do you find that in the Bible? Well, it doesn't say it quite like that, but study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved. One more. Well, I lost that place. Most of the things worth doing in the world have been declared impossible before they were done. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. It's two chosen at random. Some of you have God's big instruction book. Maybe you wouldn't think a book that little could it really be that important. So you've got that big Bible, and I didn't want to bring it this morning, about that tall, and about that wide, and about that thick, and you cannot sit and read it, you cannot take it to bed and read it, because it'll crush you if you lay it on your body, so you have to sit at a table and read it. Most every household's got one. We've got, I think, two grandmothers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You have one at y'all's household? Big, thick, family Bible, probably been around since 1700s or 1800s. Southwestern Company did a super job of having these printed and sold, at least throughout the Southeast. Did anybody work as a Bible salesman? Our friend Reverend Tommy Job worked two or three summers in Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina selling Bibles. Did none of you sold Bibles? Gary, you weren't a college student that got sent out to sell Bibles? I wasn't either. Knew I couldn't sell. But a lot of people did. Somewhere along the way, Carol's mother got one of these family Bibles. It had five verse stones on it. One for each child, and then for her and your dad, right? And had five verse stones. We may have that one. Then we have my grandmother's, and maybe I'll pass that on to my sister. But they're real big. Now they're God's big instruction book. But whether it be big or little or somewhere in between. You know, we can handle this one a little bit better, can't we? And most of us can see the reading in it. Though some of us have a large print, and I'm getting to the point of needing that or holding it way away. God's instruction book. But even if it comes in a small size, it's really big in what it teaches. It's really important. It's big in the way of importance. Because it teaches us how to live God's way. And that's the maker's way. You know, if a person makes a bicycle and somebody else writes instructions that don't know nothing about, bad grammar, you caught it, didn't you? Don't know anything about bicycles, putting one together, and you get that, You need to have the maker write the instructions for putting whatever the product is together for a life. The maker has given us these instructions. We have been dealing with instructions for some time, and the supply of instructions is limitless. If you ever learn every one of them, we'll let you stand and recite them all to us, and I'll stay as long as I can stay awake while you recite them. But I don't believe you'll ever even learn all of the instructions, at least for one setting, to give it one setting. These thou shalts, S-H-A-L-T-S, is that a proper spelling of that? I'm not even sure. And then thou shall nots. There's a bunch of thou shall nots, and we read some here. They're plentiful. These are words from God sent through His servants, the prophets, Moses, the apostles. Apostles born in season and out of season, spoken by Jesus Himself, revealed through dreams and visions or voices from heaven. Various ways that He has spoken to His people. Words from God telling us what He wants us to do and not to do. And they're plentiful. They're plentiful. A few weeks ago, I divided these instructions into three groups. Instructions for worship and other things relating to God. Instructions for working with family, or instructions for family relations. And then instructions about dealing with people other than families, even foreigners. And this morning, let's continue with a little bit about worship. It seems that we can't get past that, or I can't get past that. Y'all might be willing to, but I haven't felt comfortable. We get hung up on something and we just can't get away from it. And that's kind of been my situation here. So bear with me. We'll move on someday, but it might be beneficial if we spend some more time in these. Worship. Hebrews 10:24. And this, we started this sermon back 8:27, I believe, and I got to a certain point, and time was out, I stopped. And then the same thing happened at 8 o'clock, it happened at 10:15, and time was out, so I tried to stop at the same place, and maybe if I overlap. But within a month, since 10:27, or the fourth Sunday in August, 8:27, the fourth Sunday in August, you probably forgot, even if you heard it then. So anyhow, if you happen to have been here. So bear with me, even if I repeat myself. Hebrews 10:24. We've printed 23 and 24. We'll start with 24. The writer of the Hebrews says to the Hebrew Christians, spur one another on to love and to good works. Spur one another on to love and to good works. A few weeks ago, and it was probably the 27th of August, I think it was, I meant to say if I didn't, that this spurring one another on is what encouragement does. And we talked about, or I tried to talk about, encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. That's one of the instructions. And I said that spurs us on when we're encouraged to, if we're encouraged to love other people, it spurs us on to do it. If somebody said, you got to love them, please love them, it spurs you on. Then if it's to good work, do a good work. Go ahead and try it. You might like it. Do a good work. That encouragement to do something spurs us on to love and good work. One version of this word spur is translated to read provoke one another. Well, my problem with provoking, I've provoked a lot of people, but it wasn't to love and good works. I've provoked them to dislike me, not even meaning to. You know, I've speak too quick and open the mouth and let her fly. That's preaching by the letter method, or speaking by the letter method. Open the mouth and let her fly. And I've provoked people the wrong way. When I used to think of the word provoke,
I usually think of doing something negative, not positive, not helpful. We might translate it, stir one another up. Stir up. But I'm afraid this is a confession as much as anything. I've stirred people up. Like, man went down the other day to be a good neighbor and cut his garden spot. And he stirred up some yellow jackets. Well, that's Mr. Paul Campbell. He went down to Mr. John Moore as being a good neighbor and everything. And you know, the next guy went and got the yellow jackets too. Did you hear about that? And that other one, he got in yellow jackets and he said, this other one said, we need to hire somebody to go in and cut Mr. John's garden spot. He said, those yellow jackets are getting the best of me. So it's stir one another up or provoke. And I have stirred people up, not meaning to, but like Mr. Paul stirred up the yellow jackets. And I'm just thankful that he was doing that. I didn't want to do that, but he got into it, and I'm glad it was him. I don't wish Mr. Paul any harm, but I'm glad it was him that got those yellow jackets rather than me. But it's I found another word here. It says stimulate. The ASV, I think, American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version of the Scriptures, they said stimulate. That's a good word. I think that is positive. Stimulate one another to love and to good works. Now, why am I dwelling on this? This is one of the instructions that we have. And so often, we've stirred people up, but not to love and to good works. And that's what we are called to do. Or stir them up, or provoke them, or spur them on to love and to good works. You know, we could stand a lot more love being passed around. Would you agree? Anybody disagree with that? I've claimed for years and years and years that there is no shortage of a supply of love in the world. Love is in abundance in the world, for God so loved the world. It's kind of like the gas or gasoline shortage. Some say there's really no shortage. They just want to raise the price and make more money. I don't know about that. But I'm convinced that I do know something about God's love. There is no limit to it. The problem is distribution of that love. Distribution of that love, and the call is for us, God's people, who have received His love. We talked about that, 2 weeks ago? Or maybe last week? Love one another. Love one another. Pass the love around. Don't hoard it. Don't hold on to it. Don't cling to it. Give it away. Give it away. That's what we're called to do. Let's pass this around. Good works. You know, there's a lot of good works that can be done. A lot of people that have good works they want to do and just need to do it. Pass it around. They're always needed. They're always in need of being done. Question is, have we provoked anyone to love and to good works? But let's encourage one another. Encourage one another to be more loving and more involved in good works. Hopefully that's what we were doing all day yesterday, trying to get prepared to do some more good works. Too often people pour cold water on someone's great idea of good work. Now if you move back to Hebrews 10:23, says, let us hold, and that word is unswervingly. And that's a little hard to say even, isn't it? Let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we possess. Or another translation of that word unswervingly is fast. Let's just hold fast. Or let's cling to the hope that is ours. Cling to it. Don't give it up. One scripture, I think it's Paul writing to Timothy, but it may be him writing to somebody else. I didn't find the verse and write the chapter and verse down, or the reference down. But it's Don't be blown about by every wind and doctrine. Every little idea that comes down the pike may not be of God. And there's a bunch of ideas out there that's coming down the pike. This other day, one class was said, what about Scientology? Now, I didn't know much about Scientology, but it's a new wind. All you got to do is go to Google and type Scientology in, and it'll tell you more than you want to know. And then somebody else said, what about Wicca? And you don't want to know much about Wicca, but that's blowing around. That's blowing in the wind. Hopefully it'll blow on away. That's two that's been brought to my attention recently. What's our hope? Our hope is Jesus and eternal life through Him in a place that the Bible describes as heaven. Hold on to the hope. Don't be blown around by all these new doctrines that come down the road. Some years ago, some of you remember from the 60s and maybe early 70s, some people, the black community, basically the black leaders, was saying, keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. That was to hold on. Don't give up. Don't give up the ship. Hang in there. Another phrase for it. Hang in there. Hold on. And don't jump on every bandwagon or turnip wagon, if it be turnip wagons, that comes to town. Hold on to the hope that we have, the hope of eternal life, the hope of heaven. And He who promised heaven and eternal life through Jesus Christ is faithful. Move to Timothy, if you will. I listed Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Please go read that. We might get a sermon out of that, but today we can't. Chapter 4, verse 12. There's a word to the preacher. Timothy being the young preacher. He says, set an example in the speech, and I've tried to do that in this community and wherever I was, to set a good example in the speech that I speak. Maybe not in grammar, but getting rid of the foul language that I hear so often and at one time was a big part of my vocabulary. Set example in the speech that you speak, that you present. Set example in the life that you live. Set an example in love. And I've fallen so short, but I'm trying. Pray for me. Set an example in faith. And set an example in purity. This is 1 Timothy 4:12b. This is what the Master wants. Set an example in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. And then in verse 13, 1 Timothy 4:13, he talks about public reading of the Scriptures. One of the responsibilities of the elders of the church, if they don't have somebody to do the preaching, is to just read the Scriptures. Just stand up and read the Scriptures. Something good about that. You get instructed in God's way. So if I ever get sick on Sunday morning and can't make it and can't get another preacher to come in here, if one of the elders can't preach, you can read. Just stand up and read. Read the Word. Just read some of these instructions from God's Word. And then verse 15b, in that 13, don't neglect the gift that is in you, that you was it given to Him, or was it honored, or was it ratified when the elders laid out of hands? Like we do an elder in this church, or an ordained minister, when we ordain a minister. The gift of ministry. You know, God has to give a gift. But I guess the church ratifies it. And then, be diligent in these matters. Verse 16 says, persevere. That's that stick with it. Hang in there. Keep the faith. Go back to that one. And then it says, you will save yourself and your hearers, those who hear you. That's what the Master wants. He is wanted, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
or that all should be saved. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 and following. Make a note of that, if you will. 2 Timothy 2, 22 and following. And then Ephesians 5, 15. We're going to cover this one. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Live a wise life. Be wise in your living. Don't be foolish. And then we get to Luke chapter 6, verse 46 and following. This is God's instruction. Jesus speaking. You also find it in Matthew chapter 7, at the bottom of the outline here in italics. You got Matthew 7, 24. That passage preceding that. How to keep your life from falling apart. You know what it says? Those who hear the word of God and do it, their life is stable. Those who hear it and ignore it, their life is built on sand. And when the storms come, they don't have a rock to stand on. That's taking a little liberty there, but that's the message. This morning, brushing my teeth, I said, Gerald, there's a song. Got a phrase in it. Got a phrase in it. Got to find it here. It's 442, 441. What was the phrase, Carol? I forgot. I told her the phrase, and she said, now be quiet. Don't say a word. I'm going to think of that. I thought of another phrase in it, and I said, this phrase too, she said, I asked you to be quiet. Which I told her to be quiet. I said, I couldn't hold it back. It had to come out. Oh, take time to be holy. Speak often with God. Maybe one verse that says, speak often with the Lord. Find rest in Him always and feed on His Word. It's 442, but it's also 441. Different music or something. One is 3-4 and one is 6-8 or something like that. Who knows what that means? You don't have to tell me. Melanie and Savetta take care of that. Sam, okay. Feed on His Word. God's Word. And speak to Him about His Word. This may not mean much to the non-believer, but it ought to mean a lot to us Christians. If you're a non-believer and feel that you need to put your faith, even if it's a weak faith, in Jesus this morning, and want to publicize that here in this congregation, I'll meet you here in the altar if you'll come forward. We'll pray. Pray for your faith, your little bit of faith, if that's what it is. If you've got a lot of faith, just want to express it, I'll meet you here in the altar and we'll pray about that. We'll commit your life to the Lord. If you want to join this church, being a believer, I'll meet you in the altar. We'll receive you into the church as an official member. The song is 379. It's Take My Life and Let It Be. And I want to do verse 1 and 5. Can you remember that? 1 and 5. Take my life and let it be.
Hopefully all of us have a positive response to God's Word and good. Thank you, Jesus. Please direct us.
Thank you. Oh, yes, great.